Good morning, everybody. Let's get comfortable. Go ahead and have a seat, and we're going to get started. We want to welcome everybody here today. We want to welcome everybody that's online today and watching our service. So welcome everybody here in the church. We want to welcome them, all of our new guests and everything. Welcome them. Yeah, it's kind of like everything's just starting right over, but in view of all the recent things that's been happening in the world, we've got this challenging political system going on, this financial struggle that many businesses are going through, a lot of families that are going through, and it's just causing problems. We've got the protest for the killing of George Floyd, the outbreak of looting and violence, and the COVID-19 restrictions on businesses and churches and everything. It's just in lieu of all that, and church has been kind of been put on a hold recently, in lieu of all that, as we gather, as we begin to kind of come back together and meet together, I think that it's important for us to remind ourselves what this is all about. And this is something that I want to share with everybody at home also, what this is all about when we come and gather in a room together. And I think that we, as church leaders, kind of need to revisit this just a little bit. We need to think about, you know, what's going to happen as we rebuild our churches and how we as members, that's you and I that are here today, you know, we need to ask ourselves this question. What is the church? I mean, what is the church? Because we're going to see some differences and some changes in the church, but what is the church? And so, why are we? We need to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Why are we coming together and doing this? What's the importance of this? And so for this morning, you know, for some of us, that means, and I was there also, but it could mean the church means getting a cup of coffee and putting on your bunny slippers and going over there and watching your church service. I did that, and I enjoyed that. That was fun. So then the question comes, how important is it now for us to join together? Not digitally, not out in the world out there, but how important is it for us to come and join together in a room like this as brothers and sisters? So to do that, we need to go back to the beginning. And I just thought about that. The beginning for us here was back in 2006, when I preached my first message up at this pulpit, some of the people that we started out with about 12 people then, and we grew, and now today we're looking at about 12 people today. So it's kind of a revisit of old times, but that was 14 years ago, and some of you people are still here today. Some of you people are in this same sanctuary room today. But that's this church's history. And I believe with all my heart that God is not done with this church. And I believe that he's not done with his church. So in order to find out, you know, what is church, we really need to go back to the beginning of churches to see what that's about. You know, we need to return back to the creation of the church body. Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know, the church was invented by God. It wasn't something that man came up with and said, well, we're Christians now, it would be so much easier if we all just came together in the same building. That wasn't man's plan. That was God's plan. God has a plan and a purpose for his church. And the Bible, it tells us about that. The Bible, the true and living and inerrant word of God, talks about that. It's the authority of all church matters, not just some, not different denominations. It's the authority of all church matters. So I'm going to go around a few scriptures and kind of nail these down a little bit. But Hebrews 2:10, and he writes and he says, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist. Church, what does all mean? It means all. It means everything. For by him and through with whom all things exist. So here's where we start at. God made everything. I mean, he just did, you know, he made everything in the world. He made the universe, he made the stars, the sea and the fish, everything in them. He made you and I. He created us. The Bible starts out, in the beginning, God created. That Hebrew word is bara, which means he created from nothing. There was nothing there at the time, and he created everything. So everything he created, and he created it for us, for a place for us, for a home for us. And he created it for his good pleasure, for his fellowship, that he could come together to us. It wasn't like God was lonely or sad or anything because he was all by himself. It was because God is love. God is love, and that's just, he just emits love. And so God wanted to share his love. So he created all this stuff. God's desire is to share his love with somebody else. God's desire is to share the glory of eternity with him, with somebody else. And that we would, and that would be us, and that we would be with him eternally, with him in heaven. And so he calls us to him. He's calling us home to him. And this is going to blow your mind, because when we really look at this, speaking of us, this ragtag group of diverse people, these people from different countries, these group of peoples from different cultures, this whole world and different group of peoples from different colors. And what does he call that? What does he call this and everything when we come together like this? He calls it his church. He calls it his church. What we're doing today, right now, this is his church. If you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are part of his church. We come together as a group. In the immortal words of Sister Sledge, we are family. We are. This church, the church across the street, the church across the town. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, we are family. We're part of the church. And he tells us in there, he said in Ephesians 1, verse 5, and he says, in love, because of love, that's why, not because he needed or anything like that. He says, in love, he predestined us for adoption. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So we're speaking of the church, we're speaking of the family of God, we're speaking of all of us Christians, brothers and sisters, and God had pre-planned, predestined to adopt us into his family, that we would be a part, we would be a part and parcel with him through Jesus Christ. And that's through the repentance of the heart, that's through atonement for sin, and that's through by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross, that we would be made sons. And when we use that word in the Bible, it means sons, it means daughters, it means children, it means family, it means we've all been brought together as one. And he tells us, Matthew 16:8, he says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that means no violence, no riots, no protesters, no COVID-19. None of that is going to prevail against it. And some people might think, when we talk about the church and we visit with people, and I say it myself a lot of times, it's like, you know, hey, where are you going? And you might say, I'm going to church this morning. The church is over there, and that's where I'm going this morning. Or you come home from having a big lunch and everything, and they ask you, you know, where have you been today? And you say, well, I went to church. Where's your church? It's down on South Mays Road. That's how we talk about it. That's how we kind of feel about it. But what is the church? When we look at that, what is it? It's not like a nation. that's somewhere. It's not like a country that all came together or anything like that. It's not like a government organization that said, hey, let's put this thing together. It's not like a business. It's not like a fraternity that you belong to. It's not anything like that. Or a civic club. It's not even like a building. It's nothing like that. And listen to this. This is crazy when I thought about this morning. But the church is the most successful, longest lasting, world-changing, radical human movement of all time, of all eternity. Because when the church began, there was a lot of people that didn't want the church. So the church, by God's empowerment, it's a radical human movement. The Christian church today, that we're if you would calculate it today, what it says, 2.3 billion believers. Now, think about this. When we're talking about the church, we're not talking about all these other identifiers in there, you know, that kind of separate us a little bit. We're talking about the Christian church, 2.3 billion, that's their estimated, 2.3 billion believers in Christ. Let me give you a picture so you can see that. That's almost double the population of China. That's almost twice as much as the population of China. The Christian church is larger than many nations, the populations of whole nations. It's definitely larger than many countries. So it's like it's the largest organization on the whole planet. And the longest, too. It's been here the longest, and it's the largest organization in the whole planet. It's the largest human movement that has ever come about in the world. And nothing even comes close to that. In fact, it's not even, when I call it an organization, I just don't have another word to use for it, but it's really not even an organization. It's a movement. It's a movement that began, and it's a movement that is going to continue to move forward. And it's a movement of people. It's a movement of like-minded people. And it's going to last for eternity. It lasts for eternity. Because the Bible says, nothing shall prevail against his church. Nothing's going to beat it down. Nothing's going to make it stop. Nothing's going to overpower it. None of those things. It's never going to, nothing will prevail over it. So nowadays, a lot of times, and we hear this, and I probably said before I was a believer, I use these own words myself, but nowadays we hear people say, well, I love Jesus. I believe in God and all that, but I don't need the church. I mean, I've been to the church. All they do is they want your money. Or they're a bunch of hypocrites in the church. That's all they are. And please, 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 I beg of you, don't fall into that deception about the church. Please don't do that. Ephesians 5:25 tells us, and it's talking about husbands and wives, but it tells us in there, it says we are to love each other as Christ loved the church. So we're talking about as Christ. This is how Christ loved the church. And he gave his life. And he said that's how we're supposed to love, just like Jesus loves. And this might ruffle some feathers or something, but you can't love Jesus without loving Jesus' bride, which is the church, which is his family, which is you and I. You can't love Jesus and hate the church. The Bible says that Christ loves his church. And when we always keep thinking about churches as a building or an organization or a place. But it's not. It's you and I. And the Bible says that he loves his church. Everybody in his church. Not just some of them, everybody that he's called into his church, he loves us. And so whatever he loves, if we're going to be Christ-like, we better love it too. Because he gave his life. That's how much he loves it. He gave his life for the church. This thing that we're doing on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night or Monday night or whatever it is, this gathering together of saints, that's his church coming together. He loves his church. And so don't ever say, church isn't that important. Don't ever get too comfortable with, I don't want to have to get up and go to church. Don't ever be like that, because we are his family. The Bible, the authority on his church, said that we've been grafted in. We've been kind of put in here. We've been accepted in there. And maybe today, I mean, when we look at it today, and I think that it's okay, but we have different identifiers. As Christian believers, we have different identifiers. They may say that I'm a Baptist, but you're really just a church. You're just a church member. They might say that I'm a Methodist. They could say, well, you're just a church member. And they might say, I'm a Calvinist. You know, get clear out on one end, or an Arminian, get clear out on the other end, or a non-denominationalist, then get right in the middle of it all. They might say, well, you know, I'm black, or I'm white, or I'm Asian, or I'm European, or something like that. But we are all his church. We are all brothers and sisters. It's as simple as that. We are all brothers and sisters. And so when I ask, what is the church? We need to ask that. We need to inspect ourselves. We need to look at what we're doing. That it's just not a tradition. It's just not what we do. We need to look at that and say, what is the church? And the answer is, it might be, you know, it's a building. It's a building where I go on Sundays. It's an organization that I belong to. It's a location. Technically, you know, when we'd say stuff like that, we would be wrong. Because being a building is just a building until you arrive. Being a worship service, it's just a quiet room until you arrive. Being in a ministry is just a plan until you get involved. Then it's a church function. Then it's a church event. I mean, you can't go to church. Church isn't an event that they hold on Sunday mornings or Friday or Saturday nights. It's not. The church isn't an event. They can have events. They can have concerts and Bible studies and things like that. They can have events, but the church is not an event. The church, when it talks about it in the Bible, it's a family. It's a group of people coming together. So it's not a place, it's not an event, it's not an institution or anything like that. So when we ask this question, it says, what is a church? Here's the short answer. It's God's family. He adopted us, remember? He adopted us, he brought us in, we're part of him, we're with him now in this church. The short answer is God's family. On earth and on heaven. On earth and in heaven. Because some people in this family, they're already in heaven. Some of God's children, they preceded us. They've went home. Still in our family. When we lose a family member, we don't say, well, they're not in our family anymore. So they're still in the same family. We're still in God's family. So they went home. They went home to their father. They went home to heaven. So some of us on earth here, we're God's children right now. And we're in his family, we're in his church, and we're preparing. We're being edified when we come to this building. We're being edified when we study the Bible. We're growing as Christians. We're preparing to go home. So the family is the church of the living God. This family that we belong to, not these multiple families, but this family of the church that we belong to, it's the church of the living God. It's the foundation of truth in the whole world. So anytime that you talk about the church, you're talking about God's family. And anytime that you're talking about God's family, you're talking about the church. There is no family of God outside of the church. If you're in the family of God, you're in the church. You're part of the church. So God's family, it resides within the church. And it can be a building like this building. It can be a park that's in the outside. It can be under a tent. It can be any of those kinds of things. But when we come together, we're coming together as a church, as a family of God. It's the same thing. It's the same entity. It's the same substance that we come together. We are the body wherever we go. We are the body. So now that we've determined that, the church is us. The church is not a building, it's not an organization, but it's the largest human movement and the longest human movement that's ever been happened. So we have to ask ourselves then, okay, that's what the church is. We understand that. So what are the benefits? What are the benefits for me to get up in the morning and come into this building? What are the benefits that I should do that? What are the benefits that I should belong? A church should be a part of my life, that I should be connected to a church in some way. And for non-believers, their thought on this is, what are the benefits for me? What am I going to get out of here? Why should I go and do that when I could be home working in my yard or doing something that I feel like is important? And so that's what non-believers ask. What is the benefit of the church when you have, what's in it for me? So number one, the first thing that we want to look at, the first benefit, and you might want to write these down just so you can share with somebody later on, is you are not alone. You are not alone. When you belong in this church, when you come into this or another church, you are not alone. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, not as we expected, but he gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. This guy that he's speaking about, he's given themselves, they turned their life over to the Lord, and now they've turned their life over to us. Now they're in our church. Now they're in our organization. Now they're in our group. And he said they've turned their life over there. They've committed themselves to each other. Now I'm in a family. And you're in that family? I'm here to help you. I'm here with you. I'm going to commit myself. I commit myself to Christ and realize that he has a family. He has a group. He has a church. So I'm going to commit myself to that. And to those people in there. And I think now more than ever more, I think we can really grasp and get an understanding of this loneliness and isolation that a lot of people feel, that a lot of people are out in the world and they're by themselves and they're lonely and they're isolated. And we as believers have been committed to the Lord, and now we're committing to the Lord's children also, and as well as the Lord's family. We're here for them also. And so we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. They might be a different color. They might have a different station in life. But we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And like Christ, we should have compassion for each other. In fact, we should care for each other. We do that in ministry in this church. We do that as a corporate band of believers. We do support each other, and we do support those that are out in the world. We care for each other, and we take care of each other within the church. We help each other. We're here for each other. So first you give yourself to the Lord, and then you give yourself to each other. How can I help you? How can I help my brother? We do that for our families. This is our family. This is our eternal family that we come up with. Sure, there's going to be difficult times, and there's going to be divisions and stuff like that. But we're still family. And so you need to understand this. When you become a part of a church, you're not alone. Number two is this. You get to know your true identity. Because aren't we all in a search for that? Why am I here? What's my purpose in this world? So you get to know your true identity. God has created you for a purpose. God has created you for a purpose, and it's all for your whole life. You have a purpose all your life, and he has a plan for that also. And it usually involves helping other people, but he's got a purpose and a plan for you. And so that's our fulfillment in our life. Have you ever wondered why when you go around, people wear like brand clothing and it's important to them? It's like they got some new sunglasses. Hey, are those Oakleys? And it's like that. That confirmed them that, yeah, that was okay, or you got a pair of Air Jordans or whatever those were back then. It was like, that was really important, are those knockoffs or are those the real thing, because they wanted to have the brand and everything. Or is that an iPhone? It's like it's a phone is what it is. And so that way, when we say yes, those are Oakleys, or yes, I am wearing Air Jordans, or yes, that is an iPhone in there. When we say that, we belong. we're part of something now. And we were created that way, to be a part of something. We're relational. We connect to each other. We support each other. That's how humans are. And so when we do that, when we say that we're a part of that group, yes, it is, I am a part of that group. We feel like that, yeah, okay, we're in the cool group. Or we're in the rich group, or we're in the creative group, whatever that may be. But we want to know what our identity is. We're searching for our identity. And so you were created to belong, to be a part of something. But in reality, you know, your primary identity doesn't come from what you wear. Listen to this. It comes from the relationships that you have. Because people later on, they're not going to say, oh yeah, that was that guy that used to wear them Oakleys, or that was that guy that has the cool jeans, or whatever like that. Your identity is coming right now, and it's going to be your whole life. It'll be coming from your relationships. Hey, that's my son. You say, well, that's my brother, you know. That's what we'll be talking about. Or he's my brother. Or I'm a husband. I'm a father. That's how it's going to be. I'm a friend. I'm a pastor. You know, I'm a mom. I'm a Christian. I'm a member. I belong. I have a place. This is where I fit. So every one of these nouns that we're talking about, they describe your identity. And a lot of times that's your identity as your purpose also. But it describes an identity. So you know your identity. You know that and you understand that. And number three is this. You're a temple. And it kind of took me a while to grasp this, but you're a temple. I mean, that's a pretty exciting thing. But you are a temple. And not just a temple, not just a shrine, not just something that you come up with on your own. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple? That you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. Don't you know that you're God's temple? That when we come together, when we accept each other, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, that we're God's and God's Spirit. What does God do with his riches? He puts them in his house. He puts them in his temple. And so we are God. We have value. We have value in our life, not of our own value, not of our worth, nothing that we generated in our life or anything, but what God has imputed on us. And that just means he gave it to you. He didn't ask you about it, didn't have a discussion or anything. He just gave it to you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You've turned your life over to me. Bam, here you go. You got the Holy Spirit in you. And that's within you. That means in the temple, when he says it's a temple, that means that's your home, this is your base, and it resides within you. God's riches that he's imputed on us resides within us. So you are a temple. And as a believer and a temple of God and everything, the Holy Spirit living in you, so you possess now, as a believer, you possess this discernment. It's like, not sure if I should be going to that place. Or I really like this person. I can really connect to this person. So you have this discernment in it. You have this faith that'll move mountains now. Where you didn't have it, you might have been stubborn. You might have been headstrong or something like that. But now you have this faith that it'll move mountains. And you say, I want to go from here to there, but there's a mountain in my way. But now you got this faith, but I know because I have God residing in me and I have the temple of God living in me, that I know that I can move that mountain, I can cross that mountain, I can go around that mountain, I can do whatever on that mountain, and that we have strength and endurance. And I'm tired of this COVID-19 thing going on. I'm tired of having to try to get through this. I'm tired of being isolated. I'm tired of staying 6 feet away from everybody. I want to give a hug to somebody besides my dog. And that's not bad, you know, but it's like I'm tired of this. But God gives us, with the temple dwelling in us, he gives us the strength and the endurance to do that. And not just as yourself, you know, but all your brothers and sisters that you're with. We've all got this in us. We all come together and we all hold each other up. As a temple, we all do that. Maybe we're going to be a little less discernment, but maybe our brothers and sisters in Christ that we meet up together with, they're a little bit more in discernment. And they can tell you, you know, it's like, I'm not sure that you should do that, you know. Not that it's good or bad, but they're just giving you good insight and good knowledge. I don't feel comfortable with that person or whatever it might be. So we hold each other up. And so listen, we're a part of the temple, and the same temple is the builder of buildings and builder of our family. So we're a part of that. And number four tells us this. We are part of a body. We are the body. Listen to this. We fit together. That really got me right there when I thought about it. We fit together as individual pieces. I'll give you a good example on this. Legos. Need I say more? Legos. Individually, Legos, they're nothing more than these small torture devices. That's all they are. Raise your hand if you've ever stepped on a Lego barefooted. I'm praying for you, brother. I see your hand. I see your hand, sister. I'm praying for you. I'll tell you what, Legos, if you got up in the middle of the night and you walked across the room and you stepped on one of those Legos, and it's like they never get unsharp from use or anything. They're always sharp. But together, they can create something really unique. Together, they can create something really purposeful. Together, they can create something really nice. And so you have to place, and that's how we are as the body of Christ, you know. We're His church. We come together. We fit together. Romans 12:4 tells us, for as one body we have many members, that may be many parts, many people, many brothers and sisters. And it says, and the members do not have what? The same function. The members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. So we, he's speaking of the church right now, are many, but we're one body in Christ. That means that we come together as one body, as different portions of that body, of different functions of that body. And individually, it says members of one another. Remember that game called Red Rover, Red Rover, and you linked arms? That's how we are. That's how the church is. That's how we are in family. We're linking together. We're strong together. And we link together like that. That's what we are as a church body. It's the same thing. We all have different portions. We all have different functions. We all fit together. But we fit together for the purpose of creating the church. That would be stronger together. That we would be strengthening. That would be supportive together. That we would be encouraging together. Yeah, and in fact, that he's seeking the purpose of the church right there. And it's not to, you know, be like Legos. You know, the purpose of the church is not to inflict pain and division and gossip and everything. It's the opposite of that, is that we would come together, that we would support each other, that we would encourage each other, that we would help each other. So we all have different work to do in the church. We all have different things to do. And we all belong to each other. And the reason for that is because we need each other. You know, like I said, we've been here 14 years. And I know this. It couldn't have happened without you guys. It couldn't have happened without the members in the church. The church is far more important than simply something that you attend. It makes a far bigger difference in the world than something that we might just see at our front doors. And you and I know there's some tough people out there, but you and I, we need other people. We can't do it on our own. You need those connections in your life. I see a lot of people that was belonging in the church and they've wandered out of the church and their lives just crumbled and fell apart. We need those connections. We've seen that. I've learned that in a long life that, you know, I cannot fill my purpose in life without the people around me. You cannot fulfill your purpose in life without the people around me. It's not me, it's we. Whatever it might be, your school or your, you know, or anything like that or whatever, we need the people around us to help us. It's we. And the fifth benefit of being a church member, and this is going to be the last one, is you can grow where you go. Let me say that again. You can grow where you go. John 15:4 tells us to abide in me. That word means live in me, take up residence. And it says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. So the local church, let me just make it as simple as I can. The local church, it's like a garden. This is where we grow. This is where we get nourishment. This is where we get sometimes weeded. It's meant to help us grow. It's meant to help us to be edified, to learn things, to gain knowledge. The local church, it's meant to help us to produce fruit in our lives. The Bible tells us, the authority on the church says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that doesn't mean anything. Does that mean that you can't go get a job and make lots of money? Yeah, you can do that. But you might not be happy. You might be able to acquire things, but you might not be happy. There's a very good possibility that you own half of a company, but you might not be successful in your life. Belonging to a church, that means connecting to that vine. It means drawing nourishment from that vine. That's what it's talking about. It gives you this life energy that surpasses all understanding. It's like, I don't know how this is happening. I had called my friends. They all prayed for me, and it's just, you know, everything just happened to go my way. It reaps great rewards in your life when you belong and are connected to a bunch of believers. And I say this, and I mean this, and I don't feel bad about saying it, and I'm not trying to guilt anything about saying it, but belonging to the local church will improve your finances. I can guarantee that. It'll improve your finances. It'll enhance your relationships, because you'll be real with people then. It'll increase your faith, and it'll add years to your life, or life to your years, whichever one. It's good. So today what I want to do, as we close on this, I want to challenge you. And so if you don't have a local church, if you're watching this online and you don't have a local church, I want to invite you to this church service next Sunday, South Mays Road, 10:30. The Bible tells us in John, it tells us, he says, come and see. Just come and see. See what the Lord might have. So I want to invite you. And Jesus Christ has put it in the hearts of man to search him out. There's an emptiness. There's something that we're looking for. Something we're trying to fulfill. Sometimes we do it with drugs and alcohol and pornography. Sometimes we do it with work and marriage and children or something like that. But he has put that on the man's heart to know that there's something in there. And there's nothing more important right now in your life for you to do to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Nothing more important than that. To join a church body. To be a part of a church body. To fulfill your purpose that God has created you for. Not just initiated for you, but he's created you for that. So today, if you're listening to this, is probably the most important day of your life. The most important day that you'll ever make. It might be the most important decision that you ever make in your life. The church is the greatest movement of mankind in all of eternity. And it's not going to stop until Christ returns. It will continue to go forward, and it won't stop until Christ returns. So I want to close by talking to two different groups here. Those of you that's been in the church, and not necessarily this church, but this one too, but those of you that's been in the church, and you slowly wandered away, and your life is a struggle, and things are difficult, I just want to invite you back. Maybe you're not in this town, maybe you're in another town, but there's a church there. I want to invite you back to your old church. Go back. If it's there, go back there. If it's here, come back here. If it's somewhere else, go there. But just go. Be a part of that. Just return. Get connected. And if you've never done it, if you've never been a part of a church, if you've never ever walked into a church, never made that decision for the connection with Christ in your life, I want to invite you to do that right now. That you would do that wherever you are, whether it's in your living room or in your backyard or wherever you're at it, whether you have your pajamas on and your coffee or whatever, I want to invite you right now, wherever you're at, just to bow your head. And we're going to bow our heads here. And we're going to ask Christ to accept you into his family, or you're going to ask Christ to accept you into his family. And we're going to ask Christ that he would accept our commitment to him. So, Lord, first of all, I just want to come before you, just humbly come before you and not acknowledge that you are God. I ask, Lord, for those that are out there that are listening and maybe those that are here that are listening and they don't know you, that they would repeat these words, Lord. That God, I know I'm a sinner. And I do wrong and I want to do right. And so I ask, Lord, that you would come into my life, that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would save me from eternity, that you would accept my confessions and welcome me into your family. I pray, Lord, that after today that you would find a church for me, that you would help me to get into a church and fulfill my purpose that you've created me for. And Lord, I pray for those believers out there that have wandered away from your church, that wandered away from your home, that have wandered away from your family, that you would convict them through your Holy Spirit in their heart, that they can't do it on their own, that they need the church, and that the church is not the building, it's not the location, it's not anything like that, and how awesome and crazy it is, but it's the people, that we need people, Lord. Doesn't matter if they're black or white or anything, we're all of the same family. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, we're all of the same family. Doesn't matter if they're young or old, because we're all in the same family. We all come here this morning, Lord, to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for us and saving us from our sins. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.